We all love a good Sunday session.
Frothy time.
Oh. And this Sunday session comes to you.
Oh, how good.
This is the Rush Hour Sunday session.
The best of JB and Billy on Triple M.
Jimmy boy, I can't wait to bring back an old favourite today.
Going to get to that soon. But also on today's Sunday session, we've lassoed our man from the storm, the legend that is Craig Bellamy.
Bellyache himself, how good's that? Plus, we'll chat to someone who's looking to medal in Tokyo Gym, the Matildas, Lydia Williams.
We'll also get a trending story out of you, and I don't like where it's headed.
No, and I've got a very, very good joke, Jim. But next, it's the family's favourite segment, Jimmy boy. What have you seen unusual?
The Rush Hour Sunday session. Back soon with more from JB and Billy.
Oh, and by the way, it's your round.
We put it to Fat in the planning process that we should probably go to the family and have a nice phone topic just to get our great friends involved. And I said, what do you got, Bill? And he goes, no, leave it to me.
Yep.
Leave it to me. What have you seen unusual?
Yes, Jim. Unusual. I am the logistics man.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I plan and think ahead. Well,
that's not logistics.
I think it is.
Logistics is how you get stuff from one point to another point. It's a whole different thing.
Anyway, I come up with the ideas. Right. I'm an ideas man.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're talking about what have you seen unusual.
Yes,
I was driving the other day from my joint, Bayside, to Kingston Heath Golf Club.
Oh.
So I had to go slice through Cheltenham.
Cheltenham?
And Bill, I'm driving past a school sporting ground.
Yeah.
This is July the 8th.
Middle of July, middle of winter.
Middle of winter.
Yep.
I'm driving past a school sporting ground where an official, properly sanctioned game of cricket was happening.
Cricket?
Umpires,
no.
Uniforms, it may as well have been middle of January. And I'm looking in going, it's July.
Yeah.
Who plays cricket in July?
That's unusual.
Very unusual.
Very unusual.
Like not dingbats just with a set of stumps. This is a fair dinkum proper game of cricket.
Wow, weird, Jim.
So I thought that's unusual.
That is. I'll tell you what I saw today that isn't unusual.
What?
A truck hit the Montague Street Bridge.
No.
A truck has hit the Montague Street Bridge. I reckon that'd be 110 or 120 trucks.
Even though they got those dangly things
dangly
now to
things,
tell you that you're not going to get underneath.
Exactly.
Oh, seriously.
Mate. What sort of fool's head
drives into that?
Well, he came from the other way, I see. And he had the truck there. It was all tilted.
No, come on.
And he's standing there going,
what the hell? Are we going to Baxter Marsh?
We are.
First?
Let's talk to Rick. G'day, Rick.
Hey, how we going?
What have you seen unusual?
Mate, you are not going to believe it.
Yep.
But last night I saw North Melbourne beat West Coast.
Piss off, Rick.
Western Australia. Can you believe it?
Bugger off, Rick.
Oh, that's good.
I don't want to hear from you again.
That is unusual.
Hang up on Ren. Stop that shit.
That's unusual, Jim.
Stevie's in Camden. Rick isn't winning any. Steve, hello to you.
Stephen.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we?
Good. What have you seen unusual?
Driving home one night, about a year or two ago now. Going through a roundabout, and they've got the power poles in the middle of the roundabout and whatnot, and there's this guy, and he's all tucked up to the power pole, Starkers.
Oh, no.
Have a little pair of jocks on, sort of budgie smuggler style. And it was about 8, 9 o'clock at night. It was a bit dark, and this poor bastard was standing there. It was tied to the pole, or taped to the pole. Looked like they'd used tape rather than rope.
Oh, no. Bucks party.
That smacks of Bucks party. There's no doubt about it.
At least they left his jocks on, I suppose.
Mm. Mickey's in Aspendale. Hello, Mick.
Mick.
Hi there.
What have you seen unusual?
I was in Cambodia a few years back and I was in a minibus. We were flying down a sort of like a freeway and we overtook this car. I looked out to the right and there was two guys sitting in the boot. There was a shovel holding the boot up and their feet were dangling over the back. We were probably doing 100 Ks. But then we looked into the car and the back seat probably had 5 or 6 crowded in it.
Yeah.
And then the same in the front seat, but between the driver and the actual driver's door, there was another passenger.
Oh.
So the guy was driving. He had a guy between him and the door.
Him and the door.
So they've had about 6, 12, 15 people in the car.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I thought, imagine the cops in Australia if they saw that. Bloody hell.
Two blokes got their feet dangling out the back.
I don't know how you can do that. How can you drive and have someone wedged between your right arm? And that's unusual.
That is unusual.
Are we going to Sunbury?
There we are.
And Dazzling. Hello, Daz.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and lady. How are you?
Oh, we're going beautifully. Thank you. Now, what have you seen unusual?
Well, I've seen the Billy of the bird world land on a branch, and I've got a witness to this. My mum was over from England at the time. We were sitting on the back deck having a glass of Rioja, and this big fat pigeon landed on a branch on one of our gum trees, and as soon as it hit it, the branch broke. the bird and the branch fell into the backyard, and the bird sat there like a stunned mullet for about 10 seconds and then went, what the hell was that? And then decided to womble off.
Oh, I love it.
A fat pigeon.
That's it?
It was a very billy-shaped pigeon.
Oh, yeah. Well, stay there, Daz. I like that. Emerald? Mm-hmm. Alex? Yeah. Hello, Alex.
Alex.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, Alex. What have you seen unusual?
I've seen up in the high country, my mate just come off the road and went down the cliff and was hanging up against a tree.
Oh, no.
What do you mean? What? Come off the road, what, in the car or a bike?
Yeah, in his four-wheel drive. He was given some room.
Yeah.
And, he's given a little bit too extra room and gone off the soft spot and down the cliff.
Down the cliff.
Oh, no.
And ended up in a tree or something, you said?
Yeah, it was leaning up against the tree. The tree actually, I think, saved him, absolutely.
Gosh. Up in the high country, Jim. High country, Mansfield. Bill.
That's it.
Yeah, up near Eildon, yep.
Eildon, Bill.
I'm normally riding Brumbies up there. I might have come across him.
You might have seen it there yesterday morning if you had gone up through.
No, not yesterday.
Imagine the poor Brumby. Like, it's just minding its own business in the high country. Suddenly it's got 140 kilos of brownless parked on it.
Our next guest has put on the goalkeeping gloves for Australia 88 times.
Tipped over by Williams. Denied by Australia's number one.
After a heartbreaking quarter-final loss to Brazil in Rio, she'll be hoping to backstop the Matildas to gold in Tokyo.
The Matildas are off to the Olympics for the fourth time.
Please welcome Lydia Williams.
All the way from Japan, Lydia, welcome to you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yours is a great story. Born in Katanning, a place I know pretty well, Bill, because my family had a farm in Newdigate. So
where's this, WA?
Down the bottom, not far from Nat Fife territory, Lake Grace, area. Yep. But then went to Kalgoorlie, a town you and I know pretty well, Bill.
Been there, a couple of pubs there,
fantastic. And then, of course, from there to Canberra and have become one of the great soccer players of the world. And Lydia, tell us last night, or it might have been earlier today, you can tell us the timeline, practice match against Japan, who are pretty good. How'd that go?
Yeah, I mean, they got over us from a penalty, which is kind of unlucky. But other than that, it was a pretty even game. And we were actually probably unlucky to walk away without a tie. So it was tough, but it was a good little performance leading into our first game at the Olympics.
Exactly. Hey, Lydia, Billy here. Well done and congratulations. We're talking to Australia's number one.
Oh, yeah.
Lids, where are you at the minute?
At the moment, we're in Nara in Japan, which is actually nice to be on this time zone for once. Most of us have been living in Europe and the Northern Hemisphere for the last year. So it's actually nice to be in, Australian time territory.
And when do you go to Tokyo? And what are you hearing about Tokyo?
We go to Tokyo in about 3 days' time. We'll actually be in the village, which will be pretty cool. Last time in Rio, we weren't until the very end. So to kind of start there and be around the other athletes, I think, is be a new experience for us.
I saw something last night. The beds are made of cardboard.
Yeah, we saw that. They did like a whole infomercial video about like all the things at the village. And I was like, that's kind of cool. We'll see how long, they stand sturdy and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So with the state of the world, once you get into the village, how much access, I guess, will you have to the other team members? Are you all going to have to stay away from each other? How's that going to work?
Yeah, we've kind of been in pretty strict lockdown protocols and COVID protocols for the past year, especially with our own clubs as well. So it'll be pretty much the same. We'll kind of only be able to, I guess, associate with our direct team. And we get COVID tests every day just to make sure everything's safe and whatnot. So it'll be pretty restricted, I think.
And where are Australia ranked at the minute in the world? I think we're about 7 or 8, maybe 9th.
Yeah, I think we're 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in a rebuilding phase, new coaching staff. So you kind of, expect kind of a little bit of up and down within that. So right now we've done a lot of hard work. We've been together for over a month. So, hopefully we're peaking now for the Olympics.
And the three games that you do play in Tokyo, New Zealand is the first game. What are they called? The All Whites? What are they called?
They're called the Ferns, New Zealand Ferns.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
So we should win that one. Then you got Sweden, who are quite good, aren't they?
Yeah, Sweden have actually done a lot of rebuilding themselves, and they're starting to come up the ranks as well.
And then, the United States, are they ranked one?
Yes. Yeah. I think either them or Germany, yeah. But either way, they kind of switch between one and two. But, yeah, that'll be a tough game for sure.
And, Lids, what about Sam Kerr? She's obviously, if not the best player in the world, certainly in the conversation. How does she handle it all? The captain, of course, lots of focus on her all the time. How's she going?
Oh, she's been great. I mean, we've been lucky enough that we've all kind of been together as a team for, you know, a number of years now. So it's not just all falling on her. She is in the spotlight, but, you know, she can rely on us to kind of carry the burden or whatnot as well. So it's actually kind of a nice little camaraderie that we have throughout the team.
Ah, brilliant. Love that.
Now, what do you do? You're the goalkeeper. You're number one, okay? Now, the pressure is not on you, they say. It's on the kicker. Is that right? Or there's still a bit of pressure on you, I suppose?
I mean, we go in there confident thinking we're going to save it, but I think most of the pressure does come onto a striker or whoever's going to be taking the penalty kick.
Any tricks you've got? You've got to make yourself look bigger somehow. What are the tricks there, Lids?
You kind of jump around the goal and make yourself look like a little bit of an idiot to try and make them laugh, to be honest.
Yep.
Well, Lids, after the heartbreak of 5 years ago it was now, unbelievable Rio. Team Australia have got, and we can't wait to watch you go to work in Japan. Good luck.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Matilda's first game against New Zealand is July 21, 9:30 p.m. kickoff.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB and Billy on tap.
Yes, please.
Triple M. Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
My partner Lisa is in the car a lot at this time of night. She says, whenever that comes on, and what are we doing? She reckons she nearly drives off the road.
She actually knows
you, Bill, so that's how bad that is.
Very fond of Anthony.
I don't think at all, actually. Not at all, actually.
Did she get nice and touchy and feely?
Now,
Jim, last night,
yes.
I watched 60 Minutes last night because of one reason. The whale man.
Oh, no.
The whale man who got swallowed by a humpback whale, Jim. He was on 60 Minutes. Carl Stefanovic, he interviewed him. Stefanovic.
Oh, no.
He interviewed
have
him,
one
Jim.
More go. Carl.
Steph.
Carl Steph.
Stefanovic.
That's
he interviewed him last night, Jim. He's a humble fisherman. His name is Michael Packard. He's from Cape Cod.
Yes.
And have a listen to a little clip from 60 Minutes.
You know, there are people out there who would say, this is just all made up, this story.
Come and meet me. Take my hand.
See, that'll do it. That'll do it,
Bill.
Jim. Come and meet me, Jake. Bill. Now, Jim, he was diving for lobsters. He went down and he said he just got hit by something like a freight train. Next minute, he knew he was in the mouth of a whale, Jim, a humpback whale. In the mouth, don't say anything, Jim, because I know you don't believe this. This is true. I like this bloke. And then he was in there for 1 minute in his mouth.
1 minute.
And 1 minute. Oh. He had the tank. He had the tank with him still.
Yeah, right.
Then he thought the whale was going to deep dive, but he went up to the ocean. What do you call up the top
the
there?
Surface.
Surface. And the whale didn't like having him in his mouth. And he shook him around and then threw him out, Jim.
Out of the spout. You reckon?
No, not out of the spout.
No.
He'd come out of his mouth again, but he shook him around and threw him away, and then his mate on the boat come and got him and saved him.
Bill.
That is true.
If this happened, I'm Bill Gates. there's holes everywhere through this, Bill. Firstly, if you're diving for lobster, the water's not that deep.
No.
So if he's going to deep
But he's at the bottom. He's at the bottom of the ocean because he's trying. He grabs the lobsters with his hands.
Does he? So he can't be that deep.
Well, it's deep enough for a whale to get in there. A humpback, a humpy. Yeah. What else he got? Because I believe this man.
Do you believe him?
I believe him. Yeah, I believe Michael.
So the fact that not a person saw it happen.
No, he's made up on the
boat. No, he didn't see it. His mate didn't see it. His mate arrived very late in the story.
Actually, his mate didn't see it, but he heard him. He heard him splash. He heard him splash. When the whale threw him out of his mouth, he heard him splash over there, so he went over and fished him out.
Bill,
The
fact that you thought he'd come out of the spout is as believable as anything he said.
Anyway, I was on 60 Minutes. That must be true. So well done to you, Michael, and that is a true story.
All right.
Look it up, The Whale Man.
Stop us if you've heard this before, but the Melbourne Storm sit atop the NRL ladder.
And another comprehensive win for the Storm.
12 straight wins without a single home game since April.
The points just keep piling up.
And this man has been at the helm of their extraordinary success since 2003.
Greg Bellamy has given his captain the bird.
Please welcome the super coach, Craig Bellamy.
Oh, Bill, doesn't matter who comes and goes from the roster at the Melbourne Storm. They still are the best team in the competition, and it's great credit to this man, Craig Bellamy, who joins us now. Hey, Craig, welcome for a start. Tell us, you've got an update to give us.
Yeah, James, about 5 minutes ago, I got a text from our footy manager, Frank Benisi, saying that we're heading out tonight. So we had a Zoom meeting this morning, and we were sort of warned we might be going tomorrow, but hopefully, we could get our home game in on Saturday. But obviously, that's not going to happen. So we're just packed the bag and off we go straight away.
Mate, you've had two unbelievably successful months in Queensland. You finally get home, and you got to turn around and go again.
Yeah, it's really disappointing for us. The club, the players, the staff, but we're also really disappointed for our fans. Since we've been back, there's been a lot of interest and a lot of people sort of giving you messages and texts and whatever. But it's just really disappointing that we couldn't get at least one game in before we had to move again.
Yeah, it was going to be the first home game at Amy Park since April. Now, you've coached 536 games, five premierships. You're the best coach in the country. Now, Craig Bellamy, could you coach an AFL team?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't know enough about the game, to be like a head coach. I think you talk to people and they say, you get the foundations of a coaching system and processes, whatever. But I think you need to know the game, to be quite honest, the skills and the tactics or whatever. But I think the other thing, you need to have a passion about the game as well, So, like I say, I sort of grew up with rugby league, and that's what I know, and that's what I sort of stuck
fair
with.
Enough. Stupid question, Bill. Craig, what about the young blokes? Like we just talked about Clarko. We've seen that Sam Mitchell's going to replace him as a very young and inexperienced coach. We tend to go that way in the AFL. These people who are just out of the game, we give them head coaching jobs. Do you need to have gone away? Do you need to have coached your own team? Do you have a belief that you need to have, a level of experience before you can do a head coaching job properly in any sport?
Yeah, I think it's ideal. James, I think it's ideal for a coach, to take over a top job in the AFL, the NRL, whatever. But I think it's ideal if they've coached their own team at reserve grade level or under 20s elite or whatever. But having said that, I have seen a few guys that have gone basically straight from playing into the top job and they've been ultra successful. Like Ricky Stewart, pops to mind. He basically finished playing, then went straight into a first grade job with the Roosters, and I think he won a premiership that year or the year after. And he's a really good mate of mine, Rick, and he's been so successful for the last 20 years as well. So I think some guys can handle it, but I think most of us, need experience, at that lower level and also as an assistant. But like I say, I've seen some exceptions where, some guys just, very successful straight away.
Hey, another thing we can't get our head around, AFL boys here, is when you got players playing for yourself now and then next year they're going to leave, Josh Adokar and Nicho Hynes. That's interesting to us. We just can't get our head around that bellyache.
Obviously it is. For you guys, it's a different system, than what the AFL have got, but and it's always been our system, I suppose. So, we're used to handling it. But the thing that, at the end of the day, people leave, clubs to go to other clubs for different reasons. Sometimes you might see as, for selfish reasons. But sometimes, people do it for, obviously the financial and what's going to be good for their families, or they might be moving back to be close to families or whatever. And at the end of the day, if someone, as with Josh, when he decided to go to the Bulldogs, they sat him down, and at the end of the day, that's a decision he's made. It's the best decision he thought was for his family.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, as long as he keeps putting in, as long as he doesn't start thinking about next year and, you know, and doesn't put 100% in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I'll come down on him. But if he keeps putting 100% in and just concentrates on what he needs to do for the rest of the year with us, well, there's no hard feelings. And, yeah, and Josh has done exactly that. You know, he's been 100% with his effort. And, you know, he's... you know, his attitude to training, the mentality to training. So, like I say, we'll certainly miss him, and you know, we'll miss him as a person too, not just a player. But when he does go, you know, he'll be goodwill from it all around.
Yeah. Hey, Craig, as we let you go, we have Brandon, the hectic Cheese Smith, on regularly.
He's not right.
We think there's something fundamentally wrong with him. How do you go coaching him?
No, I'm a bit ahead of you. I'm sure he's got something. I still quite haven't worked out what it is, boys, but there's something wrong with it. There is.
At Triple M, we recommend you Sunday Session responsibly, or you'll end up like Billy.
And it was
the Rush Hour Sunday Session on Triple M.
I feel good.
Our next guest has a lot to brag about.
Unbelievable.
He still holds the record for the most marks in the AFL.
Oh, he's broken the record for the most marks in the history of the game.
Got on 2,907 career marks.
He has the most Trevor Barker awards with 6.
He is a superstar. There is no need to say anything else.
And he has 18 more goals than his cousin. Well, for now.
Hey, wash your mouth out.
Please welcome Nick Riebold.
I want to focus on the big freeze, because your performance, Rui, was the best we've seen, and Fat's performance was comfortably the worst we've seen. He made zero effort.
Well, yeah, well, explain yourself, Bill.
I have, and I don't want to go into it anymore, but good to see you, Rui.
Good to see you. Good to see
you.
You
were very good on the slide.
Geez, well, you swept that one under the cover pretty quickly.
Mate, it was just embarrassing.
It's good to have Jack Revolt's cousin in to have a chat to us.
There he goes.
Who is the best Revolt? Well, I know you've been asked this 100 times.
Well, it's not up for me to make that call, Bill.
It is. I'm asking.
Not really. Well, clearly.
Yeah. Clearly what?
Clearly. It's me, Bill. Clearly.
6 best and fairest, Bill.
My young fella reckons I'm the third. Now I'm the third best player in the family.
Who's
now
the other?
Well, Jack is number one, and he reckons himself. He's inserted himself
how
in
does
it.
He go?
Inserted
actually?
Himself in at
how
number
does
two.
James and Will, how do they go at
all? Oh, they love it. Yeah. They love it. James is, it was funny. It was like just a light bulb went off about 6 months ago, and he just became obsessed with it. Like annoying obsessed.
With footy.
So he needs a footy quiz every night before he goes to bed. I've got to think up 10 questions every night he goes to bed. And so he does a footy quiz, but he loves Auskick. He's obsessed with Auskick. So Saturday mornings for us, it's great. To be able to now see it through your own children's lens is a lot of fun. And I'm lucky. We've got a really good crew down at Hurlingham Oval there on the Pan Highway. You know, the big oval down there.
No,
and,
I don't.
And Stewie Lowe has got twin boys.
Big buckets.
Big Ooh. Buckets low. Jesus. He's got twin
Are
boys.
Big hands.
Oh,
and
big boys. Big boys. Boys. Just chips off the old buckets block.
Yes.
And he just takes over big buckets.
Does he?
So he's really hands on. He's over 50 too, big buckets. Yes. And he's got the twin boys
Nothing wrong with being over 50, which is great.
But he's up.
But he's been around a couple of times.
Yeah, he's had a couple of games.
Reinvented himself.
Yeah, yeah. He's,
he's a lovely bloke, Stewie Lowe.
One of the all-time greats. And so he just holds court amongst all the kids, and the boys just love it. But James is into it. Will's still figuring it out and learning his way. He's only 4, but
were you like that at James's age?
Probably not as obsessed because I grew up in Tassie and then Queensland, so you don't get immersed in the culture. And so you go along to Auskick of Saturday morning, and they are just surrounded by kids that just talk about footy nonstop, and they've all watched the game on Friday night, and they take their footy cards and they're swapping. So to be involved in it. From a parent's point of view, this year has been great.
And record number of participants. People worry about footy. They shouldn't. The kids love it. And my kids play junior footy. They're a bit older.
And it's not too late, James, as well, to sign up for Auskick.
That's it. Play AFL/Auskick. Get stuck into that.
But they still get the footy and the backpack and all that?
All of that. Yeah, get the backpack. You get the footy. You get the shirt of your team's colours.
Are they St Kilda fans, your boys?
They are. Yeah.
Now, the Saints have won 3 in a row. Are we back on? Well, you were never off, but are we other Saints fans?
Yeah.
I think he was off, Jim. He was off.
Yeah, I was never off, but I was very, very frustrated.
Worried.
So I do hope that they as in the club, the decision makers, don't look at the last 3 weeks and just, you know, flush what happened in the first half of the year.
Right.
Because that what happened to me says that there are some deeper issues or things that need addressing in the off season or in the latter half of this season if you want to be a great football side. So good 3 week period. Let's hope that they can continue.
Well, some teams above them have helped them.
That's right. Yeah. Well, does anyone want that 7 and 8 spot?
Doesn't look like
it. Unbelievable. There's a real delineation now, I think, with the best 6 teams in the competition that can all win it and the rest.
Will Buddy get his 1,000th goal?
How far away is he?
He's 977, so 23 goals in 6, 7, 8, 9 games. Well, it depends on any finals they play.
Yeah. He'd need a clean run with injury and body-wise too. I reckon it'll be early next year.
I'm with you. What about Mark Murphy, who's played 296 games at Carlton?
Yeah, done the calf, hasn't he?
Yeah, coming back in a couple of weeks. Should Carlton give him 4 games?
They shouldn't just gift them to him, but if he's around the mark and finals are no longer a possibility, I think those type milestones are important to your football club and they send a really, really good message to younger players, you know, that you treat your stars and your champions really well on the way out. That being said, Lenny Hayes played 297 games.
Mm.
So it's great to get there, but you only, I think you can only manipulate it so much before you start to lose a bit of credibility.
Well, some have played 198 games.
198 for you, Bill. Yeah.
Steve Hocking played 199.
Yeah. What happened there? End of the year and then end just didn't get another go?
Yeah, got
what
sacked.
Happened with you?
Gary Ayres sacked me.
Sacked you?
Yeah, Bill walked into the meeting thinking that he could talk himself into another year.
Yeah, right.
And he got about half a word out, and then Gary spoke for the next minute and a half, and then Bill turned around and left the office. That's how it worked.
A bit like your political career.
Well, yeah. That, and a lot of things haven't gone that well for me.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
All right, who we got?
Well, we have a lady on the show today, which is fantastic. Karina, welcome.
Hello, JD. Billy, how are we?
Are you from Geelong, Karina?
I am.
Good.
I'm sure I'm your hometown, mate. The Cremorne smashes it down here and the good old Catters, hey?
Yeah, so you must be a Geelong supporter.
Well, I do have a massive soft spot for Joel Selwood, and I do barrack them as my second team, but I go for those dreadful Tigers that can't put any form together.
Oh, you sound way too educated and eloquent to live in Geelong, Karina. Why do you do that, please?
Great spot.
Homegrown.
Homegrown.
Yeah.
Hey, are you anywhere near Packington Street?
No, I'm actually just ducking back home to East Geelong. So,
East Geelong, not bad.
About over there, Fat.
Nice pub over there, the Common Dauphine.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Oh, yeah, it is.
All right, and who else
new
we
owners,
got?
I think. Josh. Josh is there. Carrum Downs. G'day, Joshy.
What's going on, boys?
Who do you barrack for, buddy?
Sydney Swans.
Oh, they're going nicely, aren't they?
Yes, they're not going too bad. Bit of youth. Good to see.
Saw Paddy McCartan this morning. Played in the back line on the weekend for the Swans. Had 26 touches.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Paddy.
For what? For the twos in the
for
needful.
The VFL, yeah. All right, you know the how it works. You know how it works. I ask the questions.
The
Josh, you go Josh, and Karina, you go Karina. Mm. You happy with Karina?
Yeah, that's fine.
Right,
it's a name, Bill. So you reckon?
Well, she might have a nickname like Kaz or something. Right. But anyway, here we go.
Question, nice and loud.
Question one. NRL players were fined $305 for having a barbecue. Which team did they play for?
Karina.
Yes, Karina.
I think they played for the Roosters.
No. Karina.
All right, Joshy boy.
Joshy. 13 players got suspended.
Was it the Panthers?
No.
$305,000, by the way.
$305,000, mate. They were all there at the barbecue. The cops come around.
Which team?
St. George.
Yeah, he seems to have quietened down a touch.
Oh, Peter Vlandis.
Rugby league.
The Dragons, dopey, yeah.
Start of the year, he was up and about, putting the AFL down and swaggering around the joint. He's just quietened down a touch.
What about the coppers turn up, Jim?
Oh, no.
One bloke runs home 5Ks
yep.
and left his car with his number plates there.
Under the bed.
Another one was under the bed. One was in the cupboard. Another bloke grabbed a dog and said he was just walking past with a dog.
Come on.
Number two.
Nil all, yes.
That'd be nil all.
Yes.
Where is this weekend Sydney Giants game being played?
Karina.
Yes, Karina.
Ballarat.
Yes.
Ballarat.
What's a stadium called there, Kazza?
Thank you.
Oh, no, it's not called thank you. It's called Mars Stadium.
All right, she's in front. Come on, Josh.
Number three now. This is an audio question. Who is this?
Who's boxing the bleeding head off him, kicking the bleeding leg off
him. Oh, yes, Josh.
Conor McGregor.
All right, she's a ring a ding ding.
Broke his ankle. And he's sitting just down and they're interviewing. You see that?
No.
And then the bloke who he fought, who Conor had a go at his wife, she walks past, gave him the bird. What was on? Yeah. Number four, here we go.
Number four.
Which Hawthorn player is leading the competition in the most number of disposals?
Karina.
Yes, Karina.
Tom Mitchell.
She knows her stuff, Karina.
On fire.
All right.
What's
you need this to stay involved. 2-1, Karina's way.
Righto. Number four was that then. Number five is this. Righto.
50 metres to go in front. They're coming at deep speed. Is it going to hold? And it will. A century of winners from the car of the year.
Who rode that winner?
I'm going to take a stab here, Karina.
Yeah.
Damien Oliver.
No. Race 2 at Caulfield on Saturday.
Josh?
Was it Jamie Carr?
Yes, it was.
So we're 2-1.
Karina, how did you not get that? Jamie Carr, 100th winner for the 100th season.
100th winner, yeah.
Oh, I feel like I've let the girls down.
I think you have. Righto.
All right. Okay. Tiebreaker, of course, which is apt with the great Ashley Barty.
Yes.
Just winning Wimbledon. All right, tiebreaker, here we go.
How many games have Richmond lost in a row?
Josh.
Karina.
Oh, I thought I heard Karina.
Oh, Jim, I heard Josh.
Karina?
I'm going to go with three.
Oh! Josh?
She got it wrong. Josh.
It's four.
Karina.
Well done, Josh.
We did everything to get you over the line, but in the end, probably right that Josh, given he was just a touch earlier.
Well, especially Karina, who barracks for the Tigers.
Tigers.
Cowboy.
Kaz, what happened?
I forgot about one. Seriously, one too many we lost.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. You know it's time to call it when your mate thinks he's a comedian.
Very, very funny.
This is Billy's joke on the Rush Hour Sunday session.
You know what's happened, Jim? It's bloody been hard. I've been trying to organise a hide-and-seek tournament, okay?
Yes.
But good players, they're really hard to find.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You reckon you can find them? Like, Bill. This is hard. I cannot
can't
find
be. That can't be.
I can't that, find
that,
Jim.
That can't be the joke.
That's it, Jim.
Hide-and-seek tournament. Because there are lots of them on. You're knocked over in the rush to get to those.
Well,
you are an idiot.
I haven't got any competitors yet. There's no one has joined up.
Oh, no.
I just can't find them.
Finish up. A disappointing finish to a really good show.
Absolute thickest.
Bottoms up. That was the Rush Hour Sunday session. And if you still want more, catch the boys live or on demand on the Listener app.
I feel good.